From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. The creation of a song is a mysterious thing, especially for the listener and sometimes even for the composer. To pull back the curtain on the creative process, NPR Music has launched Project Song. This is how it works. We invite a musician into our recording studio and document the songwriting process. Project Song's first experiment was with Stephen Merritt. He's a prolific and quirky songwriter.
So you quote, love unquote me. Well, stranger things have come to be, but let's agree to disagree, 'cause I don't.
That's an older Stephen Merritt song called I Don't Believe You. Project Song offered this challenge to Merritt: write and record a song in 2 days, just two. NPR's All Songs Considered host, Bob Boylan, was in the studio.
Stephen Merritt told me that he does most of his writing sitting in a bar with throbbing music in the background. And despite all those distractions, he seems to write the catchiest of melodies. And he told me something he learned from a 70s Swedish pop band.
I read an interview with ABBA a long time ago where they said they never write down the music because they figure if they can't remember it, then other people won't remember it.
Nice.
So I followed that pretty religiously.
To kickstart the creative process, I place 6 photographs in front of Stephen Merritt and 6 cards with words or phrases on them. From those cards, he had to pick one photograph and one phrase. The photograph would represent the subject of a song, and the word or the phrase would inspire the style. What Stephen chose was an incredible image of a man wearing what appears to be a cloak covered chin to toe in baby dolls. The phrase he picked was 1974. I left him alone in the studio, his pen and red notebook in hand. It wasn't long till he sat at the piano and played, and what would unfold over the next 2 days was nearly magic. Imagine a very large room with wooden floors, a grand piano, electronic keyboards, including a 70s Moog synthesizer. We also had a sampler that recaptured the sound of another 70s instrument, the mellotron, along with drums and percussion instruments, electric guitars, bass guitars, and a sitar-sounding guitar. For the most part, I was on the other side of a large aquarium-sized piece of glass in the control room with engineer Chris Nelson. Stephen was in the fishbowl.
Now I'll write some lyrics.
Neither sin nor crime disgraces the man of a million faces. Not a single victim places the man of a million faces.
At times, it was a bit like watching grass grow, Stephen poised with his chin resting in one hand, his pen and red book in another. But then a spark would happen.
There is a phenomenon where numbers or frequencies can seem to go up and up and up without ever starting again, without ever coming down. And I can't remember what it's called. Yeah. Like so.
That pattern in music is called a shepherd scale or shepherd tone. It's the musical equivalent of a spinning barber's pole. Over the next few hours, Stephen Merritt would continue to drift from bar stool to piano stool, writing words in his book and playing with melodies at the keyboard. He was trying to create the sound of an ever-changing, yet never-changing melody, that shepherd tone that he had latched onto.
I want to make a 3-measure loop.
This is the first thing he recorded. It was to be the backdrop of the tune. Then it was on to drums. Stephen's not much of a drummer, and he was looking for a specific sound. So he would record one snare drum hit, and we'd loop that, then another snare drum, then a floor tom being struck by a maraca, and the rhythm track would be built just like that, one beat at a time. Each track was digitally recorded, and you can see the waveforms of those recordings on a giant screen. And to keep it all straight in his head with engineer Chris Nelson, Stephen Merritt gave each track a name.
If the bass drum is on every quarter note, let's have the last two snares alternating on every second quarter note. So say the snares are Agnes and Billy. It goes Agnes, Billy, Agnes, Billy.
I think I got you.
Okay.
And then it was back to piano, laying down some ideas on top of that three-measured loop he recorded. And by the end of day one, the song had taken shape. We sat down together at the bar. The first day was done. He was exhausted, but he seemed happy with what he'd accomplished.
Got four lines, lyrics, and the basic idea of the song, Man of a Million Faces, who, in my imagination, shapeshifts into these various creatures as a criminal technique.
1974, how's that playing out? And
well, I've decided that the number is 1974. Fit nicely into a melody with it.
It was late. We called it a day.
I feel like I know him well, this man of a million faces.
A fairly well-rested Stephen Merritt returned to our studios the next morning. The remaining parts of the song would be recorded and then mixed that day. He came to the studio with charts of chords he'd written out that embraced the notion of that ever-ascending scale. Later in the day, he performed it with a harpsichord sound. It turned out to be one almost hidden element in the final song, and that's often the way songwriting goes. It's rarely a straight line from idea to song.
Quite the psychiatric case is
I spent 20 hours watching the song unfold. It was much like shaking puzzle pieces from a box and seeing it all come together. And though I could tell you how it happened the way it did, I couldn't tell you why. And Stephen Merritt couldn't tell you why. And that's my favorite part. For NPR Music, I'm Bob Boylan.
You can hear The Man of a Million Faces by Stephen Merritt in its entirety and watch the writing unfold at our brand new music site, just launched today, npr.org/music. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.